Welcome into the Draftster with your hosts, Zach Blackerby and Christian Page.
Welcome into the Draftster. Zach Blackerby here, joined by my good friend and co-host, Christian Page. Christian, how you doing?
I'm sore.
You're sore. Christian helped me move yesterday. Christian was a great friend, and he has a truck. I don't have a truck, so Christian definitely helped me out yesterday, and I really appreciate that, bud.
Welcome. How were your two unexpected roommates?
So, funny story, and then we'll get into some draft stuff. But yeah, I knew that they both had dogs. Moved in with two friends. I knew they both each had a dog, and I kind of assumed that was it. And Christian comes up to me as we're moving stuff in, and he's like, "Did you know that they had a pet snake?" Like, what? I thought he was joking. He had to say it like two or three times, and then and eventually like. I understood that he was being serious. I walked over and, yeah, there's a. I now live with a snake, and I asked my buddy about it, and he's like, "Oh yeah, we got a tarantula too." So, I now have a pet snake and a pet tarantula.
That's something you definitely tell your future roommates. Like, "Oh yeah, I have a pet snake and a spider." Like, not your normal domesticated animals.
Not at all.
Outside of a wiener dog and a dog that we do not know the breed of, but they're cool dogs.
Yeah, they are cool. I like them both.
Like snakes and spiders. Normally when you ask somebody on the street, like, what are your two biggest fears, especially when they say animals, it's like,
gosh,
snakes or spiders.
Isn't that crazy? Like, what are the odds of that?
It's not a big, like, python or anything, let y'all know, but it's...
Oh, it's a 70-foot anaconda.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, let's just call it what it is. But,
little,
yeah.
Even a little corn snake... You know, it'll put chills on your spine.
All right, let's talk some draft-related stuff, specifically with the rookies that were just drafted about a month ago. Let's start with Connor Cook. Big storyline when he got drafted, essentially drafted to becoming a backup, a guy who had a very successful career at Michigan State. Now he's a backup to a very young quarterback, you know, because Oakland drafted him. And, yeah, you have to assume he's going to be behind Derek Carr as long as he's there. Derek Carr seems to be their guy, seems to be their franchise. They're building around him. But Del Rio saying good things about Connor Cook in the rookie camp. I think he's been outstanding. He comes in and had a tremendous career. He's very humble. Obviously, he's intelligent. He asks good questions. He's got arm talent. It's a matter of getting him familiar with what we do and how we do it. I think this is a good schematic fit for Cook, but I think if you're going to draft a guy like that with that name value, with that pedigree, if you will, that you should have some kind of ability to start him, to play with him.
Well, and where they drafted him, that's not your normal starting quarterback where you're going to select him. And
that's true.
You know, when you have Carr that's ascending as one of the better quarterbacks in the league now. From a personal standpoint.
Really? Did you just give him that praise?
Well, I mean, he's getting better.
Okay.
I mean, and as we see the older quarterbacks, you know, getting out.
Yeah,
I
a little bit of a changing
say,
of the guard.
Yeah, I think Carr could be that next, you know, the next tier of quarterbacks that are the younger guys with
okay.
the Bortles, the Bridgewaters, and
okay.
some others. But, yeah, Cook, you know, obviously the Raiders didn't bring him in to start immediately. And it's,
or ever, right?
Yeah, I mean, it stinks from a personal standpoint from Cook because
yeah.
you're drafted into a guy that's only been in the league for 2 years and you're a rookie and, like, you know, you can receive all the praise from the coach and it's great and all, but the likelihood of you playing anytime soon is very slim.
Right. Staying with on the topic of the Raiders, their second-round defensive tackle, Jihad Ward, he did participate in workouts. There were some questions about his knee. He will go. He's participating now. Their first round pick, Carl Joseph, did not practice, however. He continues to rehab from a knee injury, but they expect him to be back in a couple weeks. So I think a solid draft class by the Raiders. I think with the exception of the Connor Cook pick, they all kind of made sense. Mm-hmm. And we've seen that from, you know, they've had a solid past two drafts. They've arguably won the draft for their past two years, but... Bears' first-round pick, Leonard Floyd, the linebacker out of Georgia. They've asked him to gain weight this offseason.
Shocker.
Yeah. Yeah, they. I read something somewhere that they have an alarm set to like text him or something to remind him to eat every few hours. Wouldn't that be nice?
I would love to have just to, I don't need an alarm for that.
Right. But to have your boss text you, hey, we're paying you to eat.
Yeah, go to Baskin Robbins right now.
Yes.
Go to Moe's. Go eat.
Gosh. That would be awesome. That would be awesome. Kenyon Drake getting good reports from Dolphins camp. They're expecting him to be the two part of a 1-2 punch with him and Jay Ajayi, a guy who really didn't get on the field until late last year. But Miami kind of, it's like they panicked early during free agency not having a running back. It's like they couldn't get any of them. And now that they don't have one, didn't get one, it's like they're, oh, okay, that's fine.
Well, I mean, they let theirs go. I mean, I don't want to say they necessarily let them go with Lamar Miller, but, I mean, when you're relying on a guy like a Jay to come in who had the knee problems, you know, that we were wondering why he slipped in the draft last year, and we figure out he has these cartilage issues, some of the issues that might be with Miles Jack, too.
Yeah.
But then you bring in Kenyon Drake, who's, in both of our opinions, is not a three-down back. And we think that they might have brought him in more for special teams reasons, but now he's going to see the field a lot, I would think, this season.
You and I loved Kenyon Drake.
Yeah.
We were shocked how early he went. We thought he was going to be a fifth or sixth round steal, and he went ahead of a lot of really top-tier running backs, or we thought they were going to be top-tier. You know, your Bookers and your Collins. We'll talk a little bit about Alex Collins later, but, yeah, I think Kenyon Drake's going to find a good home in Miami, and I think he's going to be able to prosper well. The Redskins putting Sua Cravens, the linebacker out of Southern Cal, they're putting him at inside linebacker.
Hmm. I didn't see that one coming. Normally, when his scouting report was more of the hybrid safety, box safety, or outside linebacker type player, and the inside linebacker, I guess, another thing to add to his versatility there.
Yeah, when you think about that hybrid role, you immediately assume either safety or outside linebacker. You don't ever really think of putting them inside. So that'll be interesting to follow up. Redskins like Sua Cravens on the inside there. And, of course, this is rookie camp. They could just be seeing what he's doing. Sure. That this by no means he's playing.
He's starting day one.
Right. Oh, man. Browns coach Hugh Jackson called out.
Wolverine.
Yes, Wolverine. Logan Howlett, if you follow me there. But, yeah, he's calling out Corey Coleman, their first-round pick, wide receiver out of Baylor, for being out of shape. Mm. And a guy, if you look at him, you wonder, how in the world is this guy considered to be out of shape?
Isn't it funny? You hear a lot of this with recruiting, with high school to college, but it's like they want you so bad when they draft you. It's like the minute they get you on campus, it's like, all right, now we're going to crush you.
Right.
So, and that goes to serve to that point. It's like, oh, yeah, he's out of shape.
No,
he's
you're right.
And like you said, he doesn't play anything like he's out of shape.
No.
He beats everybody up on the field.
Oh, man, not at all. He's so physical and so fast, just a natural athlete. But, hey, I mean, those NFL coaches know what you're talking about, even if you're at the Browns. So they're probably just riding him hard, like, hey, we need you to be the guy. You know?
Well, because he might – I mean, I guess he's the number one guy there pretty much, I would think.
Well, they let Travis Benjamin walk.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's in San Diego Charger now. So, yeah, you have to assume he's the number one guy. And if you're a receiver drafted in the first round, you have to act like you're the number one guy no matter what, you know. Yeah. Titans first-round pick Jack Conklin has worked at both right and left tackle during minicamp.
Expected.
Yeah.
I mean, no shock there. And I mean, Taylor Lewan quickly said after the draft that he's a left tackle. He's never played right tackle.
Right.
And Robinson came out. The general manager, John Robinson, for the Titans, came out and said that Conklin's going to be our starting right tackle, Lewan's going to be our left tackle. But it's good to have that versatility in case injuries come along. But I would expect Conklin to be on the right side, Lewan be on the left side going forward.
Right, right. Let's see. Let's talk a little bit about some rookie salary stuff. Not a lot has come out since we did our last show. The big one was Carson Wentz. Of course, the number two pick overall in the draft by the Philadelphia Eagles, eagerly wanting their quarterback, making a big trade up to get him. His signed contract's worth $26.6 million. Of course, over 4 years with a fifth-year option. Signing bonus of $17.6 million. And that's a 4.8 mil cap hit just to this year, which really is pretty cheap for a quarterback, mm-hmm. a starting quarterback. So it's going to be interesting to see how much more Jared Goff's is. a lot of Carson Wentz's money is guaranteed money. So I wouldn't be shocked if Goff's looks like it's a lot more, you know, with the extra incentives and, of course, playoff wins and if you win a Super Bowl and all those kind of clauses in there, which I don't think he's in a situation where he can do that at all, not at least right now.
Probably not on his first contract.
Right, because they're going to have to wait a while till they get some picks back. But, yeah, so I think this is interesting just because a lot of it's guaranteed. I think that's where we're slowly starting to see contracts go. You know, there was a lot of rumors before Russell Wilson signed his that there was talk that it was going to be fully guaranteed, which I think is a tad ridiculous. But if you're Russell Wilson, it's like, okay, yeah, why would you not want that? Mm-hmm. But if you're the team itself, if you're the Seattle Seahawks or the Philadelphia Eagles, it's like, well, what's going to motivate you to, you know, go farther, you know?
Yeah, like, and we talked about this yesterday, saying, like, once you have that guaranteed money, it's like, all right, I'm getting paid regardless. And I don't think most quarterbacks in the league have this mindset. But
yeah, you don't get to that level by being that kind of person.
No,
but
not in this arrogant way. You've achieved something to get there. But, yeah, it's just kind of like once you have that guaranteed money, it's kind of like, all right, I can kind of cruise a little bit, and I'm still getting paid no matter what. Now, in no way do I think Russell Wilson's like that or Carson Wentz.
Right.
But going back to the money that he signed for, I went back to last year's draft when we had Winston go one and Mariota two, and Winston actually signed a contract worth $23.3 million with a 16.7 signing bonus.
Wow.
So Winston actually is making less contract wise than Wentz did, or Wentz is going to at number two.
Interesting.
And then Mariota as the number two pick, $24.2 million with a 15.9 signing bonus.
So they're going up. Who was the first offensive tackle taken last year?
Andres Pete from the Saints. He was 11.39 million with a 6.5 signing bonus.
He was the first tackle drafted last year?
He was. Unless you want to count Brandon Scherff as a tackle. He's playing guard.
What pick was he?
13. Oh, excuse me. Eric Flowers. Eric Flowers, right tackle.
And what did he get?
Flowers at pick 9 for the New York Giants signed a $14.4 million contract with an 8.7 signing bonus.
Okay. Yeah, Ronnie got a $20.4 million. And he was a 6th pick. So he was picked a little earlier, but let's see. The 10th pick overall. The 9th pick this year was Leonard Floyd. He has yet to sign a contract. Eli Apple was 10th. He got 15.1 as a corner. So,
Gurley was 10th last year, so can't really compare them.
Well, what did the running? What did the top running back get last year? What did Gurley get?
13.8, 8.3 signing.
I think Elliott's going to hurt the Cowboys cap wise because they're going to have to pay him the same. They're going to have to pay him 20+.
Yeah,
and that's a lot for a running back now. I mean, you get your top guys get paid, but I think that's going to be interesting. I hadn't thought about drafting Elliott that high from a cap standpoint.
Well, yeah, and I mean, there's all these drafting analysts like, well, drafting a running back, you know, the devalue of the position.
Yeah.
You don't think about, you know, the money you're going to have to pay your future running back now.
Right.
Pick 4.
And then when you re-sign him, it's going to be crazy. But just a little bit of the top picks as far as salary goes. I always find that stuff a little interesting. An interesting topic that we've talked a little bit about off the air, Christian. Arkansas Razorbacks head coach Brett Bielema kind of got a couple people thinking, and he's trying to like lead a little bit of a movement regarding underclassmen entering the draft, and perhaps if they don't get drafted. I'm going to read you one of his quotes. I haven't touched base with Gus Malzahn, Auburn head coach, yet, but he had two that did not get drafted. Dan Mullen, Mississippi State, did as well. Ohio State had a couple. Those coaches, I'm reaching out to them to try to put together some collective thoughts on how to approach it. Now, some kids maybe had to move on for academic reasons or personal or their own story. But if you have a guy like Denver Kirkland, who's on progression to graduate, is doing the right things and needs another year, can we change something? Now, he wants, and he poses the question, if an underclassman goes to the draft, doesn't get drafted, and hypothetically just doesn't have an agent, should he have the ability to return to school?
It makes a lot of sense what he's saying.
Yeah.
But first off, it's not like these guys didn't have that in mind when they declared.
Right.
There's always the risk and possibility of going undrafted.
Yeah.
Especially if you're of a caliber, because the majority of the players that do declare ranged anywhere from first to fourth round graded guys. And that, I mean, that's the higher percentage of the underclassmen are projected to get drafted decently high. As we, you know, if I read off all the first round picks of this season, of this draft class, most of them are probably underclassmen with that. But you, these guys know what they're getting into. But it's funny that you mentioned that because we just recently saw the NBA Combine this past week.
Yeah.
And they just agreed with them in the NCAA that now the NBA prospects, they can declare early, go through pre-draft stuff, whether it's combine, visit with teams, workout with teams. And if, you know, they don't like what happened, how they perform, they can come back. So, and I think there's still a deadline. So even if you get undrafted, but you already declared and have an agent and everything, that's just too bad.
Yeah.
But going, so maybe with the NFL, if they did something like after the combine, you know, somebody didn't run their 40 as well as they thought, or they, you know, screwed up in an interview or something else happened, and then there's a deadline, be like, now that all that's done and you can evaluate how you did and where you're kind of projected to be, then you can be like, well, do I want to come back to school and work on my draft stock, or do I just want to, you know, take the risk and put myself in the draft pool?
I agree with you in the sense of if they realize that it's not going to happen this year, they should be able to back out. But running a 40 3/10 of a second slower than you thought, or messing up an interview, none of that's really going to hurt you. I mean, we saw guys fall out of buildings, and we saw guys get DUIs, and, you know, all kinds of stuff. And it made them slide 20 picks or so. But I think, I don't know. I think it's either you're going to get drafted or you're not.
Well, I understand that, but the guys that dealt with the buildings and everything else, they're already highly talented guys.
Yeah.
I mean, we've known who they are since they were recruited out
sure.
of high school.
Okay.
So I think this rule would help maybe benefit more of those middle-tier guys. I don't want to say small school guys, but more of the middle-tier guys, like maybe some of the Arkansas guys, like a Denver Kirkland.
So you're saying you should be able to pull out before the draft happens.
Well, I think that's – I don't think if you don't get drafted, you can just come back to school. Because we talked about that. That messes up with scholarships in college.
Right. Yeah, in college football, you have 85 scholarships, and the draft happens after National Signing Day. So that'd be a little tough. Unless that was a new strategy that college football coaches had to deal with, you know, oh, I've got two guys that they may not get drafted. I should leave two scholarships open, and then maybe I can get a transfer or something. That would be interesting. But Bielema also had a pretty lengthy quote saying, maybe perhaps if you got drafted late, you know, could you do something there? Alex Collins could be in the same category. I'm glad he got taken, but I know he was planning on the third or second round instead of the fifth. That's millions. Remember Darius Filon? He goes in the middle of the sixth last year. If he came back and played for us last year, he probably would have been a second rounder and possibly a first rounder. The way those D tackles were going off the board, he probably lost between last year's draft and this year's draft somewhere between $10 million and $14 million that he will never, ever see again. It's insane. Now, I can see if you go through the draft and you just don't get drafted, and you want to come back or go back to school and you haven't signed an agent, that's the only way I can see it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. You can't, like, pick and choose. Like, Alex Collins, you know, or anybody, supposed to go or thought you would go in the second round. Well, you went in the fifth. Well, that's just too bad.
Right.
Sorry. That's too bad. But like you said, if you're supposed to go in the fourth and you got undrafted, then maybe the opportunity to come back to school might be a little more likely or understandable.
Then there's the argument. I agree with you. But there's the argument, just to be devil's advocate here, that's how baseball works. Mm-hmm. You know, you see kids get drafted early, and they get a bunch of money thrown at them, and then they have the option to take the money and play minor league ball for a few years or go back to school. And it seems like it's kind of split pretty even. But
yeah, I always forget how the baseball works because you can – it's like you can take the contract or the money when you get drafted out of high school, but then if you go to school, you still have to stay a certain amount of years, right? Or can you just leave whenever? You can just leave whenever?
No, you're right. I think you're right. I think you have to go 2 years.
I don't know. We got basketball's one, baseball I guess is two, and then college football is – you know, be in school for 3. So.
Yeah, I think you're right.
But it, just going back to the 2016, we had 96 guys declare, underclassmen to declare for the draft.
Okay.
31% of those guys went undrafted.
Wow.
2005, we had, or excuse me, 2015, we had 84, 29% of them went undrafted. And then 2014, 98 declared, 36% went undrafted. So just kind of some things to think about.
I mean,
about.
That's a big chunk.
That is a big chunk.
But, I mean, how many guys do we see come in the league undrafted and they make an impact? And you'll hear these guys in interviews in the preseason, like, it doesn't matter that I wasn't taken. I have just as much of a shot as other people on the team. One, I don't know how true that is. But two, I mean, it doesn't matter. They're on the team, you know? So, I don't know. Like, I think Jonathan Jones was the best undrafted free agent this year. Is he better than some guys that got drafted? Sure. Would he have gone back to Auburn? I don't think so. Maybe. He was a senior. Yeah. That's a bad example.
Well, no. I mean, just take that, though. Say he declared.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I don't think he would. I mean,
I just wonder how many guys would do that. I wonder how many guys would go in as an underclassman and have. I mean, I think you'd have to swallow a lot of pride to go back.
Yeah, you do, but then you can gain a lot more pride by increasing your draft stock. But with that, like, if you are the undrafted free agent, it's almost like you want to wait and see, like, oh, is this the contract I want? Or did this team pick me up that I want? Because a lot of times they say when you're drafted in the sixth or seventh round, you almost rather be an undrafted free agent because you draw interest from maybe 5 teams and have your choice.
Right.
So it's kind of – it's hard because you have to put yourself in that situation and – realize, you know, is it I could still make an NFL roster, maybe, but if I don't, then that could be it for me. But if I decide to go back to school, you know, some people already know my name from covering me already, and then I can maybe sneak up into the fifth round or something like that and get more of a clear shot at making a roster.
Yeah. Man, how sad would it be if you declared and you didn't get drafted? And you went back to school, and then you didn't get drafted again.
Football's not your sport, I guess.
Or maybe the NFL's not anyway.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, go CFL, arena football. Go Kurt Warner way.
So who do you think this potential rule change puts more stress on? I mean, I assume it's ultimately the NCAA's decision, or is it the NFL's?
I mean, I don't know if the NFL really, like, it'd be interesting to hear what some general managers and front office people think about this, because I don't know if they would really care. I mean, I don't want to say care, but, you know, they drafted their guys. If their guys, you know, if somebody goes undrafted, of course they want to sign certain guys, and they still can't.
Right.
And those players could still agree. But, and then the NCAA standpoint, like we talked about the scholarships and the college coaches, like, it changes. It's a whole new scheme that you have to go through, recruiting process and preparing for the season, because, you know, you have your spring game before, I guess, right before the NFL draft would be that, or it'd be that month. So you don't even have those guys, but it's like, you can't even have them in spring football. And then they come back and they're like, well, we have to, you know, you can come back to summer workouts, but then we'll put you back in the fall and then go for it. But these guys are older, so, you know, they kind of get the ropes of everything.
I didn't think about them missing spring training stuff.
Because they can't train with their team plus work out for other teams and do all the other pre-draft stuff. I mean, that's a lot of stuff to do, and you're going to wear them out, and it's not really like – it's kind of like you're on the fence, kind of like what you want to do, which is what we're talking about.
Right.
But yeah, it would definitely have to be a big old rule book for this, but
– I think it would affect – how teams draft in the later rounds a lot. I think people would draft underclassmen more on day 3. Because the seniors that go undrafted They don't have any power at all. It's like in the baseball draft. If you get drafted as a junior, you get so much more money offered to you because you have another option. You don't have to take the money. You can go back and play baseball for your university. But if you're a senior, you don't get offered near as much money because you have zero bargaining power whatsoever.
Yeah, and they know you're going
to
take it.
Right. If you want to play baseball and you were drafted as a senior, you have to take it. Mm-hmm. You have to. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can threaten to hold out, but for a minor league stuff, like, because you're going to be in the minors for a couple of years, yeah, unless you're a phenom. And then they're throwing enough money at you anywhere where you're going to be okay with it. But I just think that this would be interesting, and it would affect a lot. Not just in the NFL on the field, but it would affect the NFL off the field as far as salary caps and just overall rookie negotiations. It would also affect off the field stuff with how you draft. You know, do you target seniors a certain day, then underclassmen another day? And then off the field as far as college football goes, we've talked about some of the implications of it. As far as the total effect on the 85-man roster, the 85 guys you can give a scholarship to, I mean, how would it affect that?
Like, do you bump up the scholarships? I don't think you can.
No, I don't think that's the answer here. National Signing Day is not moving. The draft's not moving. It moves back a month to get more press and more money. It's not moving up.
Well, and then another point you could go, how many underclassmen do we see declare that? I mean, we're almost to 100 now, and what are we going to see, like 120? Next year, if this rule came out.
That's a good point.
This is a hypothetical.
Sure.
Do we see like 120, 130 declaring? Like, I mean, that's a lot.
Yeah, that would go up a lot.
And then that changes things to how the combine works. Like, who gets the invites? These guys that are just like, well, I think I might go to the NFL or I might come back.
Right.
Or yeah, it's a lot of things to consider.
It's all interesting stuff. Christian, you got anything else, bud?
I think we covered pretty much everything.
Okay. We're going to start a series called Prospect Preview. We've got one up on Carl Lawson already. Just some guys that we think you need to know before this college football season starts. Just pretty much our top guys. And as we get closer, we'll throw in some of under-the-radar kind of guys that we think will rise over this next year. But be sure to check all that out on thedraftster.com. Regardless of how you're listening, we're available on iTunes and Stitcher. And follow us on Twitter at DraftsterPod and like us on Facebook, facebook.com/TheDraftster. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening to The Draftster. Be sure to subscribe, follow us on Twitter at DraftsterPod, and visit our website at DraftsterPod.com.